You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. So the president is in Europe at the NATO thing. Yeah, you know how that's going to go. Not well for them. Yeah. So let me play a little bit of the president for you from earlier this morning. He was getting ready to talk to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yeah. And so the president, here he is.
And I think they're going to stop it. And they want to make a deal for a better. Yes.
On that question, would you commit, if there's a country that's delinquent, as you put it, in paying for their defense spending, would you commit as President of the United States to defend them if they were attacked?
Well, you know, I'm going to be discussing that today. And it's a very interesting question, isn't it? And, you know, it also depends on what your definition of delinquent is. For instance, if you have a country that's paying only 1%, and you have some that are paying less than 1%, and they shouldn't be, you have some that are paying less than 1%, and they're wealthy countries on top of everything. Now we go to a new year, and they don't pay. And now we go to yet another year, and they don't pay. Well, now I ask you, do they have to pay for the back years? Okay? Now, so why is it that they owe us for this year, but every time a new year comes out, they don't have to pay? It's wrong. It's not right. So, I mean, I could say that you could go back 25 years. I won't do that with Canada, of course. But you could go back, you know, right from the beginning, where they were short of whatever goal it was at the time. It's 2% now. 2% is very low. It should be 4%. 2% is very low. But you have some that are well short of that. But they were short of it last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, right? So they're short all these years. Well, in theory, you don't just say, that's okay, you don't have to ever pay. I mean, they really owe all that money from the past. That's the way I look at it. If Germany, as an example, is paying 1%, and they're supposed to be paying 2%, you're talking about billions of dollars. Well, that means that last year, the year before, all of those years, they would owe us money. You're talking about trillions of dollars. Nobody's ever brought that up. They just keep talking about the present. So if they're short one year, and then you go into the new year, they never talk about the year that they didn't pay. But they actually, in theory, owe us that money. It's not fair.
You know, everybody hates this, but he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Alright, he's absolutely right. You know, Germany's one of the wealthiest countries in Europe. They don't pay shit. Well, who's paying to defend the Germans? Oh, the American taxpayer.
Fair. It's not fair.
Mr. President, with regard to China, when you met the Prime Minister in June, you talked about being or trying to help with the two prisoners that are Canadians that are in China.
Yeah.
Have you made any...
Well, I have, and I think we've made progress, and I had mentioned that to President Xi, as you know, because it was a big subject at the time. And I just hope they're being treated well. But I put in a very, very strong word for those two prisoners. Now, I haven't spoken to him recently, to be honest with you. I don't think he likes me so much anymore, but that's okay.
Mr. President, Canada does not meet the 2% standard. Should it have a plan to meet the 2% standard?
Well, we'll put them on a payment plan, you know? We'll put Canada on a payment plan, right? I'm sure the Prime Minister would love that. What are you at? What is your number?
The number we talk about is 70% increase.
This is where it gets awkward.
Including, and for the coming years, significant investments in our fighter jets, significant investments in our naval fleets. We are increasing significantly our defense spending from previous governments that cut it.
Okay. Where are you now in terms of your number?
We're at 135.
1.3.
1.4. And
they're
forward.
Getting there. They know it's important to do that. And their economy is doing well. They'll get there quickly, I think. It's to their benefit.
And the President knows well as well that Canada has been there for every NATO deployment. We have consistently stepped up, sent our troops into harm's way. We're leading in Iraq. We're leading in NATO.
There you have it. The Canadians leading. Yeah. Who knew? The President, whenever he goes to Europe, man, he's like, honestly, he's like the phenomenon that sucks the living life out of the room. And it's honestly, it's amazing to watch him when he goes. But, you know, all these NATO countries have been given a pass. And now Turkey's a NATO country. Now they're doing business with the Russians. At what point do you say, hey, look, it's done. You can't be a NATO member and be an ally of the Russians. It doesn't work like that. And so I'm not sure why we're dancing around that, but we are. And at some point, it is what it is. It's like this defense thing. Why is the United States more interested in their defense than they are? I don't know. It's just, you shake your head. And again, what was I watching the other night? and the thought came to my head. The thought came to my head that, I was watching something. Oh, I was watching that Netflix series on World War II. And there's one, there's a series, there's a piece about Neville Chamberlain and Germany's expansion and whatnot, right? So if France, the United States, and the United Kingdom, right, put together a force and say, we're not having it, don't do it. Maybe 70 people who die of all causes during the Second World War don't die. Yeah. But for the want of the moral courage. Now, if you haven't learned that lesson coming out of World War II, right, then God help you. Because the Chinese are about to do it again. If you won't confront totalitarianism, if you won't, if you won't stand up, then you know what happens to you. And you're leading a nation? It is the single greatest lesson of history. If you will not confront them, then you will fight them. And they will probably whip your ass. So anyway, I watch it and it's astounding to me. And I mean, this continues to go on. And Germany, I mean, man, they can't get rid of Angela Merkel quick enough, in my opinion. That country's a clown show, right? That country is a clown show. So anyway, another, you know, news this morning from here locally. Yeah, my ex-wife sends me a text. Hey, there's a threat of a school shooting at Colleen's High School. Really? Should I go down there? Should we? No. So Colleen should stay home? Yes, I was thinking that. Okay. All right. So Colleen's staying home today. Now, about a year ago, I went to a school board meeting after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas thing, right? And for those of you who listen to the show, you've heard this audio before, okay? And I'm going to play it again. But I got to find it. I just thought it played. Hold on, give me a second. I've got to find him. I can't remember his name. Just found his picture. Yeah, I'm going to play the audio from Andrew Pollack when he went to the White House. All right, here's Andrew Pollack. He'd gone to the White House. The president was sitting in, I don't know which room of the White House, and they had parents and students, and he stood up and he said this.
We're here because my daughter has no voice.
All right, now this might be, I know it's less than a month after. It might be less than 2 weeks.
She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us. Shot 9 times on the 3rd floor. We, as a country, failed our children. This shouldn't happen. We go to the airport. I can't get on a plane with a bottle of water, but we leave it. Some animal could walk into a school and shoot our children. It's just not right, and we need to come together as a country and work on what's important, and that's protecting our children in the schools. That's the only thing that matters right now. Everyone has to come together and not think about different laws. We need to come together as a country, not different parties, and figure out how we protect the schools. It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports, we protect concerts, stadiums, embassies, the Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed. And Mr. President, we're gonna fix it. Because I'm gonna fix it. I'm not gonna rest. And look at my boys need to live with this. I wanna see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man, but to see your children go through this, bury their sister. So that's what I keep saying this, because I want it to sink in, not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings, it doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed, because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale at whatever it is, King David Cemetery. That's where I go to see my kid now. And it stops. We all work together and come up with the right idea. And it's school safety. It's not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle. Let's fix the schools, and then you guys can battle it out whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew that, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous. It's enough. Let's get together, work with the president, and fix the schools. That's it. No other discussions. Security, whatever we have to do. Get the right people, the consultants. These are our commodities. I'm never going to see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. That's how. I want it to sink in. It's eternity. My beautiful daughter, I'm never going to see again. And it's simple. It's not, we could fix it.
So that's Andrew Pollack, what, 2 years ago? So I went down and I went to a meeting at the high school. And then after that, I got told, yeah, you should probably go down and talk to the school board. So I did. And I told them. Right now know this. When the school board looks at the number of schools, now let me just give you the example of my daughter's school district. 38 schools in the district. How many armed officers do you think they have assigned? One. Pretty serious commitment to school security, right? And here's what they were debating. They were debating closing in fences around the schools. Have you ever seen a high school age kid or somebody hop over a fence that wants to? Do you think that's going to stop a shooter? And you're sitting there watching this debate going, got to be shitting me. So I stood up and I talked about it. But let me tell you what the issue is. The issue is money. So we got to hire people, right? And we got to pay them. Well, that's a lot of people, right? And what's that going to do to the raises that we want to give our teachers? Well, that's going to suck that money up. So are the teachers going to be for this or against this? Yeah, that's the issue. The issue is money. Who gets the money? And so knowing that, I stood up and said the following. When I drop my daughter off at your school, right? You have a moral responsibility to take care of her. And no parent, including me and my ex-wife, should go pick up their child at a morgue when they drop them off at a school. That shouldn't happen. So my question, I came down here to talk to you about what is your plan to make sure that this never happens in the school district? Is it to send the janitors to firearm safety class? To hire former cops? You know? Retired guys, pay them cash? Let them hang out at the school for 4 hours in the morning, the other one for 4 hours in the afternoon. Right? Do you have a plan like that? You know? Because you don't have the choice not to do anything. Hope's not a course of action when somebody places the lives of somebody in their family in your hands. You know, hope is not what you can take to the bank. So don't tell me you're hoping. But, you know, that's what they do. Well, you know, we'll fix the fence and we'll rely that the police department can get there because normally they get there within 5 or 6 minutes. Yeah, and normally there's people dead within 1 or 2. So what fucking good are they? Answer, none. So I know all this. So I said this. So I understand the pressure you're on financially. So let me tell you this. If you can't or don't have the money to do this, then you've got to lead an effort nationally to solve that problem. Because it can't be just the wealthy school districts that have security, because they do. Everybody should be able to have it. Now, do you school district people understand how we pay for roads in this country? Well, let me explain it to you, because I used to be an elected official in a city. There's a federal portion, there's a city portion, and there's a local portion, right? So, when you go to redo roads, because the financial commitment is huge, because it's part of a federal road system, because it's part of the state road system, they both kick in. Okay. Now, in my opinion, you either get security in that school. If you don't have the money, then you have to put your hand up and say, we don't have the money, but we've got an idea, and we want to be a leader in the nation of creating a system where there's a federal, state, and local interest, because everybody's got an interest in preventing this, and all students deserve that kind of protection, right? As Andrew Pollack said, we did it at every one of our airports. Nobody blinked an eye. Nobody blinked an eye. But with our schools, we have school districts all across this country that have resorted to hope as a course of action. Hope is a course of action. Now, I didn't look into it because it pisses me off, but the most recent shooting was here in California. Two students died at a high school up in Los Angeles. Was there anybody armed on campus that put an end to that? Or did the shooter, again, 5 minutes for somebody with a weapon to shoot people? And then what are you going to do? Tell the students you guys are going to be on your own for the first 5 minutes, so you got to learn how to fight? Because we're not going to protect you? Yeah. And so what did my daughter's school district do? They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. So Colleen's home here today. And she'll hang out. But we talked about, what do you do when there's a shooter? Right? If you're close, right? If you're close, you're probably going to die. So you got to fight. Don't run. Fight. Right? Throw your book bag. Throw your book. Right? They're not professionals. Get them to flinch and then try to grab the rifle. Try to grab the gun. Jump on their arm. Right? Grab your desk and shove your desk at them. If you're not near them, but you're not far from them, right? Throw something. Throw anything you can. If you're near a fire extinguisher, grab that thing and fire it at them. Fire it into the room. Obscure the room. Now, if you're far from them and you're near a door, open the door and help people get the hell out of there. Okay? If you're near a window, throw your desk through the window, dive out the window and help other people dive out. Yeah, because hope's the course of action, that's the conversation you have to have with your kid. So, anyway, you're an elected leader, and you won't do shit. Oh, I don't like guns. Well, no shit, man. Who does? Well, I do like them, but guns are actually fun. But okay, I get it. You don't like guns. But the only thing that stops somebody with a gun is another person with a gun. The person that walks up and says, please stop, don't do this, that person gets shot. Okay? It's a grim reality of life when this shit happens. So what are you doing about that? You're hoping that it doesn't happen. It just pisses me off. So anyway, good morning to you. Grant Newsom going to join us in about 40 minutes. We'll check the news of the day. Yeah, where is he? Is he in London? I don't even know where the meeting is. But, Emmanuel Macron, right? He floated the idea of the EU army. an EU army. They don't even pay, like, they don't pay their NATO bills. What would the EU army be? Right? Some French dudes, some Belgian dudes. Like, and nobody's paying? I think it would be a total piece of shit. I dare you to. But they're not that stupid. They're not that stupid. So, yeah. Why would we do that when the United States will continue to pay the freight for all of us? Yeah, like, I mean, come on. Like, let's not be crazy, Emmanuel. Why would we put ourselves on the hook? So anyway, the president's over there doing that. I can't wait to hear that. I can't wait to hear D. Trump. Hopefully he goes, like, up Emmanuel Macron's head in public. That's always awesome when he does that. Or are we just going to play, are we going to play Emperor's New Clothes? Right? We'll play Emperor's New Clothes. We'll pretend like it doesn't exist. Yeah. All right. So, United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. I actually took a pretty funny photo of Colleen that I sent, to her brothers. And I sent it to her mom. Well, I sent it to her mom and Catherine too. Right? So, and it's of Colleen getting in my truck and, she has my M4. In one hand, and my pistol in the other. Now, the trigger locks are still on, and they're not loaded, which your brothers noticed immediately. And they ruined all the fun. And I wrote, your mom, there's been a threat of violence. There's been a threat of a shooting at Colleen's school today. Your mom didn't want to take Colleen, so I'm taking her. And so the picture's from behind, and then Colleen's got a K-bar sticking out of her backpack, right? I said, so I'm taking her. Gonna roll NODAC, which is North Dakota, on these bitches. Yeah, so who made the threat, right? Evidently, they showed up on social media. Where'd it come from? Can we find them? And throw them in jail? Or is that too harsh? Oh, well, they have problems. Yeah, well, when you make threats like that, you cross lines, and then you need to be punished. So, anyway, but the photo is pretty funny, I have to tell you that. I sent it to my ex. I said, hey, I know you don't want to take Colleen to school, so I am. And she wrote back, LMAO. So, anyway, trying to see a little bit of humor in an otherwise shit morning. All right, so good morning to you. Good news, like out of another unit contacted me I was in bed last night. Hey, we've heard about this. Would you come do it? I will. So the list, and then late early this morning, 2nd Marine Air Wing out of New River in North Carolina, adjacent to Camp Lejeune, said, hey, first week of January, can you help? I said, I could do that. So anyway, good news on the post-traumatic winning front. So, yeah, there's somebody else somewhere in this country that's going to go in front of a general and pitch it to them today. So, December, pretty cool so far. Anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning. Thank you. This is dedicated to Andrew Pollock and his daughter, Meadow, and school districts all around this country. Once again, right? Another warning to do the right thing so that this shit doesn't happen at your school. Okay? That you're prepared for it. That you live up to the oath you take, right? When parents drop their children off at your school. That you've done everything possible within your power so that those children can be picked up by their parents at the end of the day. And that nothing comes in between that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. the goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather here. I believe the NATO thing is in London because there's big protests there. So, don't ask me why I think that, but I do. The weather. To Marineland we go. Currently partly cloudy in 47 in Quantico. Sunny in 50 at Camp Lejeune. So pretty cold on the East Coast. 29 Palms. Partly sunny in 50. Camp Pendleton cloudy in 54. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 70 degrees. Okinawa, dark cloudy, and 64 degrees. In Afghanistan, early in the evening, clear, dark, and 53. And Iraq has cooled off as well. In Ramadi. We've got to do some shows about Iran because because it's pretty interesting what's going on in Iraq and Lebanon, as they've had enough of the Iranians, and then inside Iran, where the Iranians have had enough of the Iranians. So anyway, it is dark, cloudy, and 57 in Ramadi. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is mostly cloudy and 55. Looking for a high of 67 today. Rain tonight, an overnight low of 57 degrees. That's how you notice how polished I am doing the weather. Yeah, I've done it before. On Wednesday, rain and 65. Thursday, partly sunny and 66. That's your 3-day forecast here in Southern California. Now, right? Shithole weather. There you go. Chris in Webster. Yeah, the dude who lost an entire human being off his body in the terms of 250 pounds, right? He's on the move today. Oscar Mike. He's in Worcester, not Webster. Currently, 25 degrees Fahrenheit with a high of 31 today. Winds are out of the northwest at 18. A winter storm advisory is in effect till noon, right? Pictures to follow. Yeah, did I get the pictures? Oh, this is the Worcester Church. You know what? There's beautiful, you know, I love these kind of pictures. That's why it's becoming my favorite part of shithole weather. No, it's this classic church in, you know, that was built when? In the 18th century? That would mean 1700, okay? Right? Beautiful, kind of gothic-looking church with a big, you know, very tall with the kind of turret things above the doors and beautiful stained glass. So there you have it. Well done, Chris. Well done. Here's another picture he sent me of a car. It looks like that's in a park in about 2 feet of snow. What caused this? You know what? God only knows. An act of God, no doubt. An act of God. From Church, oh, how beautiful, man. From Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. Bev, they got brand new snow there. And how do I know that? Because it's perfectly even. Yeah, Saskatchewan is like the Pacific Ocean, except it's dirt. It is flat farmland as far as you can see. Yeah, you see another person and you're so excited. Hey, how are you doing? And so the pictures of Bev's backyard, or somebody's backyard, I think Bev. And there's a couple outbuildings and beautiful, freshly fallen snow. It's actually the northeast view of the backyard and the lane. And Churchbridge, for those of you who don't know, is about 200 miles north of Minot. After a week, which Minot, north central North Dakota, after a weekend of freezing rain and snow, Churchbridge finally gets to enjoy 26 degrees Fahrenheit. And so in the land where it's cold, 26 is warm. Yeah, think about that. Under a mix of clouds and sun this morning with winds from the west at 14, our afternoon will be mostly sunny with a high of 32, winds out of the west at 11, and beautiful, freshly fallen snow. That's it. That's it. No Vacaville, no East Grand Forks, no Erie, Pennsylvania. So we'll take a break. We'll check some news headlines, more of All Marine Radio on this Tuesday, the third day of December, coming up next. Yeah, and let me just tell you, if you know members of school boards, tell them, write them. I'm going to write them, hey, I spoke to you a year ago or longer, and now there's a threat at my daughter's school. And thank God it was seen somehow or they got onto social media. If not, what are the odds that the single officer is there drinking his cup of coffee, or she's drinking her cup of coffee? Are they good? Are they bad? Well, let's hope, right? Let's hope. Hope's not allowed. You don't have the right to hope, right? Because if it was only your kid's life, then you could do that. You can't do that with my kid's life. So you either have to find the money to pay people to secure the school, or you got to put your hand up and be part of a movement that says, we need additional funding, right? State, federal, and local money to get this done. Right? And normally it's like the feds kick in 50%, the state kicks in 25%, and no, the state kicks in about, 30%, and then the local municipality kicks in about, 10 to 20%. That's how that gets done. Okay? And so that's how you do it. Crickets. Crickets, crickets, crickets. Anyone? Bueller? Anybody? No? Oh, I guess we will just hope. And, my kid doesn't go to school there, so, it will be unfortunate, but, right, I got mine. Yeah. Nice. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, there's a whole bunch of news I want to get to, and so we'll do that. With apologies to our girl Peyton Davis. So, military families weigh legal options over faulty housing. A couple of these stories are in the news today, but I bring this up to tell you that there's hearings going on today. Now, I told you what would happen, right? There was hearings in February almost a year ago, right? And, you know, everybody was righteously indignant about this condition, and it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Listen, I'll just read you two paragraphs of the story in Stars and Stripes, okay? And again, it's disgusting stuff. This is from Austin, Texas. Tamara Terry fears her family's legacy of military service might end with her children being denied the opportunity. The daughter of a Navy SEAL and the spouse of a soldier, Terry can rattle off the many uncles and family members who did or do serve in the United States military. But after living for 3 years in base housing at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that was plagued with mold, a 27-year-old mother of three said her children have collected medical diagnoses she worries would hinder any chance at military service. It is something my children may not be able to pursue, said Terry, who is expecting twins. Her children are 8, 5, and 8 months old. One was diagnosed with sleep apnea, another with consistent bronchitis. Her youngest son has had such severe respiratory issues that at one point it caused him to stop breathing, she said. So anyway, there's hearings going on today. So you should check them out. From USNI News, CNO Gilday's ethical guidance to the fleet. It's in the format of a Navy message. Subject, CNO message to the force. How long is this? It's pretty short, right? It's pretty short, right? One, mission one for every sailor, active and reserve, uniform and civilian, is the operational readiness of today's Navy. This means being ready both in our personal and professional lives, and part of that readiness is continuing to hold ourselves to high ideals of integrity and service. Two, reflecting on my first 3 months as CNO, I want each and every sailor to think about who we are as a Navy and the constitutional oath we commit ourselves to. That oath is one that binds us together. It is the foundation of our profession. It is our North Star. It defines us. Three, it is no overstatement to say that naval service requires deeper and broader knowledge than it ever has before. You must summon all of your energy to ensure that we are ready to fight today, not tomorrow, not in some distant future, but today. That all starts with good order and discipline at every level of the chain of command. Four, to be clear, we must be men and women of integrity. We must be honorable. We must be standard bearers. We must be above reproach, and we must not give anyone cause to question our fundamental values. That is what sets us apart as a fighting force. Five, leaders, I am counting on you. I expect commanders at every level to epitomize integrity and exemplify our core values at all times. Senior enlisted leaders, I expect you to anchor up and show your sailors what right looks like on the deck plates day in and day out. I expect every sailor to display the character and honor that has always defined our Navy. These ideals are central to who we are. Six, the responsibility for ethical and professional behavior must be taken seriously. And we must own it at every level. We must be protectors and exemplify our values. Seven, I'm counting on each of you to set a strong personal example of responsible behavior, both on and off duty. Eight, while there is much work to be done, the tenacity and ingenuity of our sailors will take us where we need to go and do so at a flank bell. See you in the fleet. Admiral Michael M. Gilday, Chief of Naval Operations. So there's his ethical guidance. Next story. There's a bunch of them today that are interesting. U.S. troops and A-10s return to Marja to fight. It's my battle space. It's Ao Montezuma. The Afghan government said Saturday its forces cleared the opium-rich and volatile district of Marja, Afghanistan, after 4 years of control by the Taliban. But some remain skeptical of the claim and question whether Afghan forces can truly hold the territory. The large-scale operation launched by Afghan forces around mid-November included U.S. Special Operations Forces, ISR and air support by the conflict's most iconic warbird, the A-10 Thunderbolt II, according to two sources on the ground who spoke to Military Times on conditions of anonymity. Whoa. Somebody's got people on active duty that are there. Kern Hendricks, a photojournalist in Afghanistan, posted on Instagram a photograph of a U.S. Oshkosh M ATV vehicle with a Texas flag operating in the vicinity of Marja. Quote, passing under the electronic eyes of a U.S. Marine convoy headed down to Marja for a joint operation with ANA, which is the Afghan National Army. The caption of the photo reads, the American vehicles were bookended front and rear by ANA vehicles to avoid taking the brunt of any IDs that they might encounter along the way. So how about that? The A-10. Air Force wanted to get rid of it. Congress said no. I got an email we're going to talk about. Let me read that email right now. Mac, I heard you discussing the process that the current commandant, General Berger, will go through when he unveils his new force design. It is simply one that takes place every year when services come to both the House Armed Service Committee and the Senate Armed Service Committee and ask for modifications. One of the most interesting things that will happen will be the opportunity cost that comes about because of these changes in the Marine Corps. As you rightly pointed out, what are the roles and responsibilities that the Marine Corps has been tasked with in all the different op plans around the world? Will these modifications impact that? If they do, who pays for that? So in the course of the Marine Corps pivoting to the sea now, if it costs the nation billions of dollars because other capabilities have to be stood up, that would be a concern for Congress. So it will be very interesting. But it will happen in the normal course of the budget process through hearings when people flesh out the details. And, oh, by the way, when you stop buying major end items, that gets congressional interest because those things get made in their districts and they don't go for that. So this should be very interesting. Enjoy the program. Hope this helps. Out. So there you have it. I like that. Marine veteran Congressman Duncan Hunter says he will plead guilty to corruption charges. What? Duncan Hunter. Yeah, this has been a bad story, right? The California Republican is facing federal corruption charges that he looted campaign cash to finance vacation, golf outings, and other personal expenses. He told KUSI Television San Diego in an interview that aired on Monday he is changing his plea to protect his three children from going through a very public trial. I think it would be really tough for them, he said. It's hard enough being the kids of a public figure. I think it's time for them to live life outside the spotlight. Hunter said he will accept whatever sentence the judge gives. He says he wants his seat to remain in Republican hands and will try to ensure a true, smooth transition, indicating he will be leaving Congress. Earlier this year, Duncan Hunter's wife pled guilty, right, and said she would testify against him. He initially blamed her for all this stuff. Yeah, so it's kind of odd, to say the least. Anyway, another headline. 1917 is a haunting technical marvel and one of Hollywood's best war films. No, this article contains no spoilers. It is no stretch to call 1917 one of the most impressive and cinematically innovative war films ever made. The movie, inspired by Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes' own grandfather, his grandfather's World War I autobiography, is a technical marvel that renders characterizations of immersive a gross understatement. Fooled by a German illusion of retreat in which the enemy withdrew its forces to the Hindenburg Line, the Brits are ready to strike hard, unaware that they are advancing into a reinforced meat grinder. So, so according to this, go see 1917. The next story. The Navy asked judge to put off a ruling in closely watched toxic water case tied to firefighting foam. Why is that? Right? Because the Navy, right, is about to do what the DOD did last year and said, yeah, there's no remedy for you. We have no remedy because it would be too expensive. The Navy wants to hit pause on a Pennsylvania court case that would require it to acknowledge water contamination in and around two of its bases caused by the use of firefighting foam in anticipation that the state and federal government are going to put out mandatory cleanup and remediation guidance. What does that guidance have to do with your culpability? Attorneys for the Navy filed a motion on November 19th for a six-month stay in the case, according to court documents, based on two civil lawsuits from Pennsylvania residents arguing that Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base Willow Grove and former Naval Air Warfare Center Warminster have caused perfluorooctane sulfonate, perfluorooctane acid, collectively known as PFAS contamination, and should be subject to the Pennsylvania Hazardous Sites Cleanup Act. At issue is whether those chemicals, which have been linked to cancer and other illnesses, but are not currently recognized by the government as hazardous at all levels of exposure, should require a decontamination process, and whether people exposed to them can seek damages to cover the cost of medical expenses. So there you have it. Can seek damages. That's what the Navy's on the hook for, right? And they do this shit. They destroy people's body. Jerry Einsminger, right? I did an interview with him a year or so ago when the VA said that if you have these things, Camp Lejeune water contamination, you will now be allowed to seek redress, but you're not your dependents, right? Not your dependents. So this is all about managing damages by the federal government. It's disgusting. Ex-White House press secretary is now advising the Naval Academy. He's an ensign. Spicer was sworn in on Monday at a board meeting at Annapolis. He's now a member of the Academy's Board of Visitors. The board reviews the state of morale and discipline at the Academy and its curriculum and fiscal affairs. It includes members of Congress. So he's a Navy reservist. Oh, no, I'm getting my wires crossed. Commander Spicer holds a master's degree from the Naval War College in Rhode Island, served as President Trump's press secretary. So, Sean Spicer goes from Dancing with the Stars to the Naval Academy. Go figure. Another interesting story by Patricia Kimmey. Why the military can't recruit more mental health professionals? Why is that? Lower pay, fewer advancement opportunities, and excessive workload rank as the top reasons that the military services fail to recruit and retain psychiatrists, psychologists, and other mental health providers. With more than 50% of the psychiatrists nationwide able to run cash-only practices, with many making six-figure salaries, the Navy, the Army, and Air Force lack a competitive advantage when it comes to paying civilians and drawing military providers, as noted in a report to Congress on November 27th. But you can't say that because they'll lose their fucking minds if you said that in public. Add in a slow hiring process, onerous paperwork, and little say in assignments, particularly overseas assignments, and the services cannot keep up with demand. Yeah. All right, top five stories in early bird. One, Trump begins NATO summit by targeting Macron's brain death comment. Emmanuel Macron's a fool, right? He was like, he was going to be the next leader of the world. And then all of a sudden, France blew up in it last summer. Remember that? Rioting, the yellow vests and all that shit. And you haven't heard from him ever since. He screws with Donald Trump, I think, just to, make himself look good. But, I mean, in my opinion, he's stupid. Number two, U.S. Navy awards. Maybe he's not stupid, okay? But as a leader, not so much. Number two, Navy awards largest ever shipbuilding contract to Electric Boat for a new attack submarine. Number three, 102 military bases at risk for water shortages. That's according to the GAO. Number four, military families at MacDill are the latest to file suit against their privatized housing landlords. Now, I'm going to talk about that story in a second. Number five, Senate Foreign Relations Chairman talks Turkey's Erdogan and the hole he's dug himself into. Now, just some background. Talk about China suspending U.S. Navy visits to Hong Kong. That happened, in fact, a while ago. They've been canceling visits. They didn't say we suspended them, but no American ship has pulled into Hong Kong in a while. Right, this announcement recently. This announcement recently is just kind of an official bow on it. Military families at MacDill are the latest to file suit, right? And there's a picture of a duck vent that's just chock full of mold. Five military families have filed a lawsuit against the owners and property managers of their privatized housing at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, alleging negligence and failure to address moisture, mold, and other problems. They allege the problems led to severe health conditions of service members and their family members and to economic losses and seek to recover damages. In at least one instance, Moldy conditions were left untreated by defendant for so long that mushrooms grew out of the floor and carpet in one service member's home, according to a lawsuit filed Monday in federal court in Tampa. Now, let me just tell you what's so fucking pathetic about this. We did this shit a year ago. A year ago. Right? And Congress's righteous indignation was on full display as they stood up for America's service members. Right? And the same shit continues. Okay? The same shit continues. So, anyway, there's hearings going on today. Right? Where you will get more double talk and bullshit. And it's just disgusting. But let me tell you, the only thing that moves, you know, political people is when their shit gets thrown on TV in front of people. And so in between what's happened from the first time we saw this to now is this. Okay? What they've done is they've strung this out, right? These companies have formed a group to push back on this Bill of Rights that was supposedly going to happen that hasn't happened yet. It's pushed back across the board. It's cried financial hardship, right? All of that. All of that. That's the reason why they won't maintain the houses that military people live in. So at some point, Congress has to get off their dead asses and do the right thing. So with that said, we'll take a break. Grant Newsham going to join us next here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.